everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio, where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and today is Monday, August the 6th, and we are going to be talking about one of the most exciting topics in technology today. Today's show is sponsored by Monave, Modern, Natural, Versatile. That's Monave Mineral Makeup. Visit them online at www.monave.com, where you can purchase makeup, eyeshadow, and all kinds of things to match your skin tone and your skin type, and plus you can buy a kit to learn how to make your own mineral makeup, www.monave.com. Today's show is all about blogging, and today's guest is also all about blogging. Her name is Aliza Sherman. She is a web pioneer, an online marketing expert, a published author of 8 and soon-to-be 9 books, a regular contributor to national magazines and websites. She was named by Newsweek magazine as one of the top 50 people who matter most on the Internet. She has spoken around the world about the Internet, entrepreneurship, and women's empowerment. She lives in Anchorage, Alaska, and she is the author of the Everything Blogging book. Publish your ideas online, get feedback, and create your own worldwide network. And we are going to be picking her brain about blogging today. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Aliza.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, so what is blogging? What is this new hot trend that everybody's talking about, Aliza?
Well, blogging is actually something that's been around for quite a while, but it really gained popularity around 2000. But the simple answer is a blog is a website with special formatting, and that formatting includes headlines and posts. You post to your blog, and each post has a date and a timestamp, and they're usually in reverse chronological order, which means the most recent post is at the top of your blog. But really, a blog is a website. The thing that's made it so incredibly popular is that the platform and the tools to publish a blog are incredibly easy to use. And that ease of use means that anyone with the tiniest of technical skills get on the web, know how to fill out a form, know how to type, and you could actually blog if you've got something to say.
Now, Aliza, how did you get into blogging? What is your, I understand you have several blogs. What do you blog about, and why do you blog, and how did you get into this?
Well, I'm definitely a serial blogger. I have many blogs in various states of life, I guess you would call it. I started blogging really in the first incarnation of blogs. Now, the word blog comes from web log. And early on, when people who were on the web, sort of at the beginning, in the early to mid-90s, because the web was basically made public in 1992, the people who were finding other websites would make lists of links to these websites and put some commentary to them, and those were called web logs. So I was doing that in around 1995. And I didn't officially become a blogger using blogging software tools until 2003. So that's when I first started a blog on Blogger and then quickly graduated to a TypePad blog. And I think we'll be talking a little bit later about the different kinds of tools that are available to bloggers. And I just did it. I was going through a difficult time in my own life and wanted a way of talking about it, and thinking that if I talked about it publicly, I had already learned from my many years on the Internet and web that if you publish something on the web and people read it, you can really reach a lot of people with information. So my first blog was a miscarriage blog, and I was hopefully putting the information out there that could help other women.
And you hit the nail right on the head there when you talked about reaching other people. And so here at Indie Business Radio, we are all about doing that, Aliza, as you know, from a business perspective. I want to pick your brain about how small business owners, how we can use blogging as a tool to reach other people and ultimately generate sales and expand our brand. What are some of the things, what are some of the things that new bloggers or people that are new to this need to think about who are in business before they launch a blog?
Well, I think some of the most important things that business people need to consider when blogging, first and foremost, what are you trying to achieve through a blog? What are your business goals? Well, sales is really the last thing possible on the list of realistic things you can achieve with a blog. So if you're really looking for sales, a blog probably is not the first tool you'd want to turn to. And in the flip side of that is if you are blogging, sales should be at the bottom of your list of realistic business goals that you hope to achieve through a blog. Because bottom line, people do not go to blogs with the expectation to buy anything. Now, that said, a blog is a great marketing and a communications tool. It, if used well, it could be a good customer relations building tool. And indirectly, it could eventually increase sales the way that any marketing, communications, or customer service tool could help with sales.
So, Aliza, is it fair to say that blogging can be an effective complement to already successful sales tools that you're using?
Blogging could be a great marketing tool for the sales tools that you're using.
Okay. That, so you can use
it. So it's not a... I'm sorry, I was just going to say it's not a sales tool.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it really is not a complement to a sales tool other than it's a marketing tool. A blog could drive more traffic to your online store. That's a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm.
A blog could drive more traffic to your website. A blog could give more background and information about the products or the services that you offer. Mm-hmm. If you're a consultant and you're selling services, a blog could build your credibility,
mm-hmm.
which could then bring more attention to you and bring some potential clients. But again, all of that's marketing. There is something that's being experimented with, and it has been for the last year or so, called a catablog. And the concept is to take the immediacy and the ease of blogging tools and the blog format and turning it into some kind of catalog where you can actually purchase from the blog. But those are very few and far between right now. And one of the people I know who's experimenting with it and working with TypePad to come up with the right model and the right technology is an artist who's doing it, and I mentioned him in my book, and he's been selling art from a blog.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at all the major businesses out there, corporations, they're using their blog as an extension of their communications tools, of their marketing tools.
Okay. So can you put e-commerce on a blog just like you can on any other website? Can you hook a shopping cart into your blog?
Well, like I said, there's some experimentation going on and some development going on to do this. There are, as if you are familiar with e-commerce tools, there are these standalone tools that you could literally attach to anything that's on the web.
Right,
but the problem is, the problem is people don't want to go to blogs to buy.
Mm-hmm.
People don't go to blogs expecting to buy. And I think you'd be spending a lot of money on a very unproven thing if you try to hook up your shopping cart to a blog, because people aren't going there to shop, and it's going to be confusing. It could really cause a lot of wasted effort and money on your part and a lot of frustration trying to make something work before it has been proven. I mean, if you're one of the people who likes to spend a lot of money to prove it for other people, to sort of pave the way, then perhaps you could use a blog in that format. You know, that said, there are people, artisans and craftspeople. There's a woman who designs T-shirts and pot holders, and she has tried to hook it up with a PayPal account. I can't say that she's making loads of money, but it was just something she thought would be fun to promote her design and then to hook it up directly to PayPal. But as a practice, I could not. I mean, if you were my client today and you said, "I want to sell on my blog," I would not recommend it.
So, Aliza, let's say you have, let's think about some I'm trying to think of some of the business owners that I work with and listeners to the show. They've got a product. They've got a website with, you know, a user-friendly shopping cart, you know, nice pictures of the product, and, you know, sales are, you know, growing and going along at a rate that they're pretty much pleased with. And they're thinking, you know, I've heard about these blogs, and they've been to visit some blogs, and they're like, you know, this looks like it's really cool, and I can link back to my website, and when a famous person comes in my store and buys my products, I can take a picture and stick it on my blog. You know, this looks like it's a lot of fun. What sorts of things should that person consider when they're thinking about launching a blog, other than which blogging software to use? Let's talk about that a little later. I just mean in terms of the time, the resources, whether a blog is for them. What sorts of questions should they ask themselves, Elisa?
Well, beyond that first initial question, you know, what are my business goals, what am I trying to achieve, and how can a blog fit into that, focusing mostly on marketing, communications, brand building, customer relations, the next thing is, well, what's my blog going to be about? What's the theme of my blog?
Okay.
Coming
so
up with something.
Question number one, or one of the questions, is you need to have a theme.
Yeah, you need to have a theme. You need to know, you'll come up with a blog title that reflects that theme. So when people come to your blog, they understand what they're going to get, what you're going to share with them.
Mm-hmm.
So come up with some concept of what your blog will be. Most of the best and successful blogs have a real focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's, you know, Daily Kos, which is Daily K-O-S, he has a political blog, and it has a Democratic focus, or a liberal focus, I guess you would say. You know, if it's a mommy blog, clearly it has a mommy and parenting focus. Now, if on the mommy blog, the mom starts blogging about cars all of a sudden without any relation whatsoever to kids, family, being a mom, it's going to stand out. It's going to look strange, it's going to be awkward, it's going to lose focus, and you could lose readership. So,
okay, so you have some kind of consistency.
You do. A consistency and a consistent voice. Are you going to have a casual voice, an official voice, a professional sounding, or a conversational? What is your voice going to be? And who's going to blog? Is it just you? Is it going to be some of your employees, your consultants? Who's actually going to do the blogging?
Mm-hmm.
Blogging takes a lot of time and effort. It is not a website where you can let things sit for months on end. It is definitely something that people come to on a regular basis, and they want frequent updates. Weekly would be the least amount of time that you want to blog, once a week. So do you have the ability to do that? Do you have enough to say? I always say, once you come up with your theme, come up with dozens of blog titles, headlines, for posts. Come up with a dozen ideas right off the top of your head. Come up with 2 dozen, 3 dozen ideas over time. If you can't, maybe you've got the wrong idea for a blog.
Right. Your blog will only have 3 dozen posts in it. So, Elisa, if you, let's just say you're a bath and body products manufacturer, and you manufacture organic products for pets. Pet shampoo, you know, dog hair oil to keep their coat shiny, breath mints for the dog, whatever. It's cosmetics for pets, and it's all organic. Is an example of one of the things you could do is, when you're picking your theme, you could blog about, your theme could be pets in general, your theme could be dogs, your theme could be organics. I mean, you can pick one of those themes and just kind of go with it. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, you don't want to be too broad. So if it is organic products for dogs,
mm-hmm.
then you don't want to say pets.
Okay.
And if it's, it could be as broad as organic living, mm-hmm. and you weave in organic pet care, mm-hmm. as well as tips for organic living in general for the family, because in essence, your pet is part of the family anyway.
Right,
so it makes sense.
Sure.
But you don't necessarily want to get too specific and have it just be about organic dog. You know, so, but it could be natural dog care, including the products that they have. But don't be afraid to mention any other products of non-competing companies that are complementary.
Right.
And also, don't think you always have to mention products. Just talk about the lifestyle or talk about the issues.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I heard a story about a man's blog somewhere in the northeastern part of the U.S. I'm not sure where. He manufactures custom-made signage for business owners to put on their front yard, you know, their sign for their store or whatever. And he was doing a really good job and rolling along in his business, and then he decided to launch a blog. And his blog, Aliza, is composed of photographs of the signs he makes with links to the contact information for his customers. And he said that his business just went through the roof when he launched that blog and started taking pictures of his signage, and how easy that was. He really doesn't have a whole lot of content. It's just a picture of the new sign, a little bit of information about his client, and then he's on to the next thing.
Right. I think that is a smart and easy way to blog.
Mm-hmm.
His content really is producing signs.
Right.
He's branding himself. He's branding his company. He's displaying his talent. It's like an online portfolio.
Right.
He's giving props to his clients. I mean, it's just... It makes sense. He didn't try to do something like a philosophical look at creating signs,
right,
or
right.
Try to make some content where there really is no content other than what he's doing. And I think that was a smart move. It's definitely, a blog can be just photographs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that can have a lot of impact. I mean, obvious is a photographer or an artist
uh-huh.
to do a blog of purely images.
Now, Aliza, one of the things I see a lot, and I'm sure you do too, I want you to comment on this, is, you know, people get really excited about having a blog because they've seen another person's blog, just like they get really excited about having a website or some other technological tool, and then they struggle so much with actually keeping it up. Like, people send me to their blog because they want me to link from my blog to their blog, and it's like the last update was February 2007. And it's
right.
kind of like that goes to that issue you said about having a theme and making sure that you don't have things to run out of saying.
Well, having an outdated blog can really be the kiss of death if that blog is representing your company. Now, I have over a dozen blogs, and like I said, they're in various stages of life or death, and I don't use them all, though, to promote what I do. I use them as experiments. I use them because I come up with a great idea, and then I just don't have the energy to sustain it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, part of my business is now becoming a pro blogger, which is a professional blogger who gets paid to blog for other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is very different from being paid to post fake blogs,
mm-hmm.
which I think is something that a lot of companies need to be careful of. Not to create something that's fake, a blog post or a blog comment. You do not want to deceive the audience. But I get paid to blog on other people's websites
mm-hmm.
Where they have guest bloggers or mm-hmm. featured bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to pay more attention, obviously, to my paid clients
mm-hmm.
Than I do for my own self, which I think is a lot of marketers' issues, is we tend to do really well helping other people market themselves, and then when it comes down to our own stuff, we get neglectful.
Mm-hmm. Now, how desirable is it to get people to actually comment on your blog, and what are some tips on how to get people to do that?
Well, the best way to drive traffic and keep traffic coming to your blog is to allow people to comment, and then to allow a community of people to develop around your blog because of the comment section. The comment tools on blogs can be disabled, and having comments on your blog can be a bit of a chore because you want to make sure, first of all, that you delete all blog spam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the spammers are able to spam on blogs just like they do in your email box. And you also want to monitor the comments to make sure that nobody's attacking anybody else, that nobody's making any false statements or negative statements about your company that you aren't able to address properly. There's a lot of emotional issues around the comments as well, because people could come to your blog and say mean things about you. Now what are you going to do? So one of the other things to really think about before you blog is, what are your policies going to be?
Okay.
If You know, if somebody comes to your blog and they post something negative, if it's untrue, that's one thing, but how are you going to address it? If you just delete something negative, it could be a backlash against you.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody says something negative, how are you going to handle it? Will you create a post? Will you comment back? But having all these policies in place and even posting them with a link from your blog's homepage and calling it your terms of service, what are your responsibilities as the blogger and the owner of the blog? And what are people's responsibilities as those who come to comment on the blog? And spell it out and make it clear. And what are your policies if there's something inappropriate, or what do you deem inappropriate? As long as you put the rules up front, then you won't get the same kind of backlash as if you just went through and just weeded out the comments you didn't like. But that can be time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
So I say comments are very important to the life of a blog, but in some cases, they just may not be recommended because of the additional work. There could be some legal liability. There just could be other issues at play. Usually having a really good lawyer who understands cyber issues is the way to go to ask them. I remember some clients I've had went through really long legal discussions about what they wanted to do with the comment section. And most of them do have the comment sections on, but they have disclaimers.
Mm-hmm.
Anything said within the comment section is not necessarily supported by the company. A lot of legalese has to go onto a site to protect certain companies and corporations.
And Aliza, can having a blog increase your search engine rankings for your main website?
Well, having a blog can increase your search engine rankings in general, meaning that now maybe your website and your blog will both come up on the search engines. When you link to your website, the more sites that link to your website could also affect your rankings because some of the search engines go by link popularity.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly will put your name or your company's name in search engines, easier to find, but you have to make sure that you name your blog appropriately. Don't forget to put your company name as well as whatever your blog title might be.
Now, Aliza, how much time do you recommend in general, and I know every situation is going to be different, but just generally, a first-time blogger, do you recommend that they set aside a minimum amount of time to devote to this blogging issue? And if they can't find at least that minimum amount of time, then, you know, they really need to think long and hard about whether this is an undertaking they want to move toward.
I think at a very minimum, an hour a week for blogging and an hour a week for trying to cultivate a community, which could mean seeding the comment section, inviting people to respond, and engaging yourself in the conversation as people do respond, or even just going to other blogs where you think that people who would enjoy your blog might be, and commenting in a very useful and appropriate way on someone else's blog, because when you do comment on a blog, your name is usually highlighted as a link with a link directly to your blog.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying go post inappropriately a commercial message of any kind, but just be a part of a community on other people's blogs, add some value, and if people like what you said, they'll click on that link to see what your blog is.
Right, right. You have to be bringing something to the party.
Yes.
And participate. So, Aliza, let's talk a little bit about what the blogging tools are that are available for us to use. Where do we? Let's say we've decided to have a blog, we've thought of a good name, we've got, you know, 3,000 blogs in the can. Let's think
3,000 blog posts in the can, you
mean? Yeah, let's be optimistic.
Well, let's say you have 300 blog posts in the can, which means almost every day. Or let's say we have 50 blogs in the can, which means just about every week. I mean,
right.
Really, well, be realistic.
You tend to be a little bit over-optimistic. But let's say, what I meant to say was that you have a significant amount of blogs and you really feel confident.
Significant amount of posts. You want to make sure you use the right terminology. You have a blog and you have posts.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay,
for
just wanted to make sure.
So you've got enough posts. You feel like you're confident that you can continue with those into the future. Where do you go to get what you need to put your blog on the internet? What are your options?
Well, you've got your free options and you've got your fee-based options.
Okay.
And there are so many of those, but the ones that really rise to the top from a free standpoint is blogger.com, which is owned by Google now, and Google is investing a lot of money and resources to make Blogger even better than it was before.
Okay.
And it was pretty darn good before. It was very easy to use. You could set up a blog in less than 3 minutes. And it was very straightforward. It's not as flexible as some other tools unless you know HTML programming. But even without any HTML knowledge, it has a number of design templates you can choose from,
mm-hmm.
and a number of different features that you can enhance your blog, and you can rearrange your blog, and it just gets better really every month. Every month they come out with something new that makes it even better.
Okay,
like,
and that's
blogger.com. Blogger.
And it's
blogger.com. And it's free.
Okay.
It's entirely free. Now, I had said earlier I graduated from a Blogger blog to
mm-hmm.
TypePad, but I actually have a lot of Blogger blogs as well.
Okay.
TypePad is a fee-based. You can get 30 days free to test it out mm-hmm. with a limited selection of tools and options to use, templates and things like that. But it really is a fee-based, and it could range. I have 3 blogs through them, and that package was about $80 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when you think about it, that's pretty good, and
right.
that's really not going to break the bank, even for a small business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they offer a lot more tools and a lot more plugins and a lot more bells and whistles, and they partner with a lot of companies to add additional features to your blog. They are really engaged in the whole blog universe, wanting to make blogs more than they've ever been, and almost reinventing what a blog can be. Very much into multimedia blogging.
Mm-hmm.
So they really give you the tools to embed a lot of things into your blog with ease. And I think from a design standpoint, they have a lot of templates you can choose from and a lot of flexibility. But then again, if you really want a unique-looking blog,
mm-hmm.
you need a designer and you need someone who knows HTML, bottom line.
And where do you go to get, is there certain software that you use for that kind of blog?
Well, TypePad has the software built in. I mean,
these are
all web-based tools. One example of a non-web-based tool is WordPress, meaning only that eventually it will operate like a Blogger or like a TypePad, but you need someone to install it and to configure it for you. So if you are a first-time blogger, you don't usually go the WordPress route unless you can pay someone who knows how to install it, who knows how to configure it and design for WordPress to set it up for you.
Now let's talk about that for a second, because I had a WordPress blog, and actually I still have it, but it's just on the web so people can see what a WordPress blog looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct, Eliza, for people who are, again, trying to decide which one to get, that let's just assume finding someone to help you with WordPress is not an issue, you have that. You can put that blog within the domain name of your website in a way that you may not be able to do with something like TypePad. Is that right?
Not exactly. I mean, you can integrate any of the blogs into your website. But WordPress, really, you have much more control over it.
Right,
using that programmer, you have a lot more control. Now, I have to make one distinction. There's WordPress, the software, and there's WordPress.com,
mm-hmm.
which is like a blogger.com.
Okay.
So there are two different things. And WordPress.com has everything built in on the web. WordPress, the software, has to be downloaded, installed, configured.
Okay.
But ultimately, any blog tool that you're using, there'll be different levels of complication or complexity to integrate it into your website, but they all can be integrated into your website. And that's, if you already have a web presence and you want a blog, there is no reason not to integrate that blog into your site, unless you want to first have the blog separate, make sure that it's going to work for you, and then integrate it into the site.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, starting off right off the bat, adding a new button on your website that says blog and going to the blog, design-wise, everything should integrate. Now, that, again, will take a designer. If you had a designer do your website, you're going to need a designer to do the blog integration as well.
Right.
So that everything looks consistent.
Right, right. So for people that are just starting out and don't, you know, aren't ready to make that investment or of time and resources to find someone to do that, would you suggest that either blogger.com or typepad.com are good places to go to get started?
Well, I would say blogger.com is a good place to get started. You can then actually import your blog from Blogger to TypePad when you're ready to move to TypePad.
Okay, so
but
Blogger
TypePad
is...
does, TypePad requires money, and so if you're not ready yet to spend the money, then start off with a free one. And start
well,
off
other,
with
other than
like
the 80, let's say the $80 or $100 a year isn't an issue. Other than the money that you would pay for, the, I guess, the hosting fee, the annual hosting fee, is there any reason to start with one or the other? Let's put that fee aside for a second, just in terms
sure.
of getting started as a new blogger.
It's been, from that point, it's purely personal preference.
Okay.
You might as well sign up for the 30-day free trial with TypePad and
right.
sign up for the free Blogger, blog on each one of them, and see which tools you like better because they both have different interfaces.
Right.
And one may be more intuitive to you than the other.
That's,
and also,
oh, that's
you know, try WordPress.com, try Vox.com, VOX.com. Try several of the freebies and just see what feels right. That really is ultimately what it boils down to because you're going to have to go on that blog on a regular basis every week and maybe every other day. And so is it confusing to you or does it make sense right off the bat? And that gives you a really good feeling. And then you have a better sense of, you know, where you want to spend your time.
Right, right. So you've got your theme down. You've decided to go ahead and start with either Blogger or TypePad just to get the ball rolling. And you're moving along. And how do you tell people about your blog? How do you get people to come there, Eliza?
It's Eliza, by the way.
Have I been calling you the wrong name the whole time?
No, you just started. I don't know. It just happens. People who meet me by email always say it, Eliza. But it is Eliza. You get people to come to your blog the same way you get people to come to your website.
Okay.
You market it. You market it through all the typical avenues, search engines, and they also have blog search engines. A really great feature on blogs that is usually built into all the tools is something called the RSS feed, really simple syndication.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is it's an automated tool that takes your blog content and changes it, converts it into plain text, and then it's easily syndicated into readers such as Google Reader. It can be emailed easily. So people can come to your blog and subscribe to your feed,
mm-hmm.
and they'll either get notices that you've just updated your blog with an excerpt from your latest post and a link back to your blog,
mm-hmm.
or they can have that feed fed into their favorite reader program.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep track of all the blogs I like, not by visiting each and every blog every day, but by going to my Google Reader and seeing what I want to read and then clicking through to the blog.
Okay.
So making sure you have that feed ability, the RSS feed feature on your blog is an excellent marketing tool for your blog.
And you can enable that tool through Blogger or TypePad, whichever one you choose.
You can enable them automatically through some of them. Like TypePad automatically has it.
Mm-hmm.
And Blogger, I'm not sure if they've added it automatically, but there are ways to add it. There's a site called feedburner.com,
mm-hmm.
and you can burn your feed, is what they say. You basically enter your blog address, and it will then provide you the tools to actually put a little box that says subscribe to my feed
right.
on your blog. So if your tool does not have it, if your blogging tool does not have it, go to Feedburner, and you can also find other ways of putting that feature in. So there's definitely a solution for you, regardless of whether or not your blog software provides it.
Right, right. So do you recommend that people, like, spend a fairly considerable amount of time, if they're new to blogging, reading other people's blogs and getting to see how other people are doing it, how they choose their themes and themes before they really commit to something like this? Is that a good way to kind of learn how to do it?
Well, I think doing your homework is a great idea.
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, looking at your competition. What are your competitors doing in terms
right.
of blogging?
Right.
Are they there, and what are they blogging about? You really want to differentiate yourself in the same way you want to differentiate your company in other things that you do, marketing-wise, sales-wise. You also want to differentiate your company as a blogger.
Mm-hmm.
So check out the competition. Check out very popular blogs.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to find those are to go to sites like Technorati, for example, and they'll have the top 100 blogs.
Right.
See what the most popular blogs are.
Right.
And see what you try to see a pattern between them. What really makes them popular? And I've identified some of the things: a very strong and distinct voice, a very clear focus, not narrow, but clear focus. Somebody who's blogging that has a strong personality and opinions that attracts a lot more attention than the person who just sort of blogs blah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not a person with a lot to say and a lot of opinions and ideas, interesting ideas, then maybe blogging is just simply not for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you need to hire a blogger who has that kind of mindset.
Right, right.
Now, some of the biggest blogs do not allow comments anymore because it became unmanageable for them.
Right.
But they still retain their popularity because of their personality and the following they have established. So while I do encourage you to have comments and do think that it will build your audience,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't necessarily make or break a blog if you've got so many other factors that can make for a successful blog.
Right. Right. Now, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about the difference between a blog and a newsletter. I have wondered often if they are kind of redundant. What have you found in your experience working with different companies?
Well, if we're talking about an e-newsletter,
mm-hmm.
I don't think a blog and an e-newsletter are really anything like one another. A blog is sort of the fill-in for that e-newsletter when you're not sending that e-newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Your e-newsletter is not really something that people expect to get from you more than once a week or once a month.
Right.
Normally, once a month.
Right.
But what about all those other days of the month when you're not sending out your e-newsletter, but you have some very timely and important information to impart
mm-hmm.
that you just don't want to push it into people's email boxes and sort of abuse the privilege of having their permission to send them something.
Mm-hmm.
People expect that monthly e-newsletter, an occasional post or an occasional email in addition to that, but not every day. But
right.
You could blog every day. You could certainly blog every day without offending anybody. So
it's almost like a full complement of options that you have for your business. You have your website with e-commerce. You have your online newsletter, you have your blog, I mean, you have your toll-free telephone number. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that technology work together, and blogging is one of those ways, you know, that can use to kind of, they support each other, kind of interdependent, and no one of them does the trick by itself.
That's exactly it. A blog is one of the tools in your marketing toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the many tools in your business toolkit. It is not the end-all, be-all. It cannot support everything you want to do, but it does complement many of the things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the reasons, also from a business standpoint, they have become so popular
mm-hmm.
because they are really just complementary, and they're doing some things that other online publishing and online marketing tools just don't do. I mean, I love the way that blogs automatically archive the content that you've published.
Right.
When you are building a website, archiving things and coming up with a really good way, even an automated way,
mm-hmm.
to archive old content can be really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But on a blog, you just say if you want to archive it by week or by month or by day, and then it automatically puts the links on the side to each month's posts.
Right, and it does it automatically, which is so cool.
Right. It's an automated feature, and that is truly one of the things that makes blog publishing software very valuable from a content production and publishing standpoint. And then categories and tagging, where you can actually come up with the categories for the different kinds of posts and then tag those posts with keywords and categories so that people can enter that keyword into the search function on your site or on your blog or a search engine, and it begins to identify some of the posts within your blog. So it's a great way of organizing your content.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I was just getting ready to do a blog being an entrepreneurial mom,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to come up with my different categories, and one of the categories is infrastructure, because I'm going to be talking about staff issues, hiring, consultants, bringing, you know, outsourcing, so things about the business infrastructure. I'm going to talk about marketing PR.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to talk about personal issues,
mm-hmm.
so work-life balance, and each one of those became a category.
Mm-hmm.
And now my content is better organized, and if someone's really interested in infrastructure issues, they click on that, and every related post shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a great way for me to be organized, but it's an even better way for my reader to get exactly what they want from my blog.
Right. And you can also, do you use tools, like obviously people put pictures at their blogs, but do you use tools like audio streams and video and things like that at your blogs to generate interest and to increase readership?
Well, I haven't yet, although I will be starting podcasting soon,
mm-hmm.
and adding more audio. And the reason is, it's back to resources. What do you have the time to produce and
the
ability to produce?
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is going to sound great in audio, and not everyone's going to look great on video.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that you are good at,
mm-hmm.
and what do you have to hire or outsource, and
mm-hmm.
then do you have the finances to do that? Well, I have a lot of radio experience. I have a lot of television experience, so it's a natural fit, but when do I find the time? That's been my issue, is I would love to do it. I've done regular radio. I've done NPR, but when do I have time to produce this myself? So you do have tools that are easy to use, and I could, without any technical knowledge other than just the ability to use the web, produce my own radio. But you have to really, to make it good, you need to write a script.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come up with the same kind of content plan that you do for your blog itself.
Or just have really good guests like you.
So, yeah, it depends on your resources. And so right now I don't have that, but I do know the tools exist, and I do know that they're easy to use. There's obviously a learning curve for each one of them, but not as extensive as one might think. But it really boils down to time, resources, and skill in terms of talent.
And Elisa, that's what seems so exciting and promising about this, is that you can tailor it to what your resources and needs are. And, of course, as small business owners, those are constantly changing. And so it sounds like it's just a matter of assessing that on an ongoing basis, removing and adding things that work and don't work for you.
Well, that is the beauty of any of the things that we're doing on the web these days. More and more companies are coming up with the tools that can be better integrated into what you're doing offline,
right.
and that you can pick and choose. It's modular. You can pick and choose and add and subtract depending on what your measurements are telling you. Yes, this is successful. It's worth spending time and money. No, this is not working. Why not? Okay, should we cut it out? That's the same thing you do with your regular advertising or public relations, or any other way that you're trying to build your business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the beauty of the technology is the tools are there. If you want to use them, they're there.
Now, Elisa, I know you spoke at a blogging conference a few weeks ago. Tell us about that.
Well, I was in Chicago speaking at Blogher 07, which is a blogging conference for women, and it's really one of the largest blogging conferences hands down. I mean, not, whether it's for men or women or both or dogs or cats, it's really one of the largest blogging conferences there is. Very, very well done. I spoke on a panel the first morning, and I talked about the life cycle of online communities with several other panelists, and we talked everything from conceptualizing an online community to killing an online community, either on purpose or by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And since blogs have that comment section and that community possibility, it was a very relevant topic for blogging. Although we talked about many communities beyond just blogs,
mm-hmm.
it was one of those lessons for building blogging communities. So mm-hmm. it was just an amazing event. And to be there with so many women who are excited about technology and blogging, mm-hmm. It was just a phenomenal experience.
Now, where can we go, Aliza, to read and enjoy some of your blogs and also to find out more about the services you offer, the books you have available, etc.?
Well, you can go to alizasherman.com, but because nobody knows how to spell that, you can also go to mediaegg.com.
Okay.
They both go to the same place. And when you go there, it'll talk about the books I have out, and mm-hmm. it will lead you to some of my most popular blogs. Then once you visit some of my blogs, you may actually end up linking to some other blogs as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long and winding path through the blogosphere to really locate every one of my blogs.
And
what
is one of your favorite blogs? If we were to go learn about Aliza from one of your blogs, because we had time to go to one today, which one would you invite us to go to?
Well, I think the most appropriate one to go to would be Aliza Sherman Rants and Raves, which is part of my three baby fruit blogs. And it's babyfruit.typepad.com/mediagirl.
Okay. Okay.
And that would be the one where I talk about social marketing and social networks and the internet and the web and other things that affect sort of the work that I do.
Okay.
So that's the appropriate one from a business standpoint. And then the baby fruit blog is my miscarriage, pregnancy, motherhood blog.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to know about my personal life, that's the one to go to.
Baby Fruit. Okay. And I'm at babyfruit.typepad.com/mediagirl. And you're right. You've got a lot of blogs listed there. Very interesting. Well, we can also visit you, as you said, at mediaegg.com. And once again, everyone, I encourage you to check out Aliza's websites. I'm pronouncing her name finally properly now, I think. And have a look around, learn about blogging, get some of her books. She's got a lot of great and interesting ideas. And Aliza, thanks so much for joining us on Indie Business Radio today.
Thank you. I've had a really great time.
Well, we certainly appreciate you. And hey, you guys, we've got some more great shows coming up. I've got shows planned for every day this month. Please visit IndieBusinessRadio.com. Take a look at our upcoming guests. Did I say every day this month? I meant every Monday this month. Even though it's the month of vacations, I am going to be broadcasting every day with some great guests. We're going to be talking about moonlighting next week with some people who've started a business on the side. How do you do that? How do you mix full-time traditional work with starting a business on the side? We've got some people that are doing it and doing it really effectively. They're going to be on the show next week. And then the following week, we're going to be talking about parenting and business at home, raising kids and businesses under one roof. We've got some people here who are doing that, and they're going to be offering their best tips and insights into how to make that work. And, of course, you know, that's what we do here at Indie Business Radio. We empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Look forward to seeing you next week on the show. Have a great week, everyone.